This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Extreme Compute Technologies, manufacturer of the flexible, serviceable, and upgradable BRICS product family of PCIe expansion platforms. XCT delivers extreme expansion for NVIDIA Tesla, Quadro, and a variety of other PCIe-based peripheral devices. www.extremecompute.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
NVIDIA arms itself for battle against Intel and AMD.
The changing landscape of computing in HPC.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for January 7th, 2011, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison, and Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you, Michael.
So it is a new year, and I was envisioning, you know, it would be kind of a slow start. People are just coming back from extended vacations, and here we've got a really big announcement from NVIDIA, it seems like.
Well, it's a new year. It's a new decade. It's time for a new paradigm. Start looking forward to where computing might be going in HPC, right?
Yeah, and if people haven't been following this or reading HPC Wire or some of the other IT publications, NVIDIA, sort of at the end of another announcement at the computer show in Las Vegas, announced that
this is the Consumer Electronics Show, right? We don't often get big HPC announcements coming out of CES.
Right. It's all, right, the consumer side, client side stuff mostly. And most of that announcement from NVIDIA was about their Tegra line, which is their mobile platform. But at the end, Jensen Huang, the CEO, basically told everybody that they're going to move that model, that Tegra model of CPU and GPU computing, into their main line. So across all their platforms, and getting into PCs, workstations, servers, and supercomputers. So they're basically committed to a heterogeneous computing model using the ARM CPU that they started with the Tegra platform.
Right. Now, this was internally known as Project Denver, and the idea is to bundle CPU and GPU into a single architecture and then move that across all NVIDIA product lines, which will include the Tesla product lines for HPC, and ultimately go after everything from mobile devices through PCs up to servers and large data centers.
Right. It's going to be sort of a monolithic thing across the whole portfolio. And in some cases, they're going to, it sounds like they're going to basically take existing ARM implementations and just plop them down on the die. And I think that's what they're going to do for the Tegra lines. But at the level of, at the high end, the HPC type chips, they're going to actually implement their own ARM implementations for those, because they'll be more specialized and they'll be more performance oriented. And from what I understood from talking with Andy Keen, who runs the Tesla group there, this isn't going to go in until the Maxwell architecture, which isn't due out until 2013. I think we'll see earlier versions of this heterogeneous model in some of their other chips that are slated for PC clients and workstations. But it looks like in 2 years, or a little more than 2 years, we'll have a heterogeneous NVIDIA processor in HPC.
Now, this is an interesting move for NVIDIA. Strategically, I think this is a sound move for them in the long term. This is one of these long-term visionary things. I was talking to Chris Willard about this this very thing, and he pointed out that that if you stick with GPUs only, you might wind up finding yourself on a technology island of sorts that could slowly be sinking over time, where we see AMD or Intel with more integrated strategies, and even to some extent IBM, that NVIDIA needed to diversify its technologies in order to have more reach into these computing areas. And it establishes NVIDIA not just as a graphics company, but as a computing company in general.
Right. I think they needed to do that. And in, even in the HPC arena where, you know, we're talking all about performance here, but, you know, and I've written about this on a few occasions, it seemed like there was really no way to keep the GPU piece of this separate if you wanted the kind of performance and power efficiencies you need to get to exascale. You couldn't separate the sequential part from the data parallel part over a PCI bus. That just was too inefficient to get the kind of performance, bandwidth, and latency you needed. So this was a logical choice, not just for their corporate business, but for HPC as well. I think it was moving in that direction, and you had some hints that NVIDIA was planning this because from what some of the HPC vendors were saying that had knowledge into the NVIDIA roadmap before we knew about it, they had been thinking about this for some time, probably a few years, maybe from the very beginning in 2006, in fact.
Yeah, they have been thinking about it for a while, it seems. I mean, you can't just announce this, though. This is certainly going to be a long-term thing. It's not like we're going to be looking at these systems, you know, this year.
Right.
It's not, and they haven't given out very many details. Then we would love details. I mean, we've got a lot of questions about the ARM architecture itself, the power consumption, what the connectivity is going to look like.
Right.
You know, how are you going to scale these things? Right. I mean, there's a lot of details that are missing. It's not an x86 architecture, as you pointed out, actually with a quote from Jack Dungera in your article.
Right. I mean, Jack pointed out that they couldn't get the x86 heterogeneous platform because they couldn't license it. I mean, ARM was the logical choice for them. It was licensable, and they already had it in their Tegra product line as well. But they're also pointing to the fact that ARM is, by volume, is a much better platform than x86. There's billions of ARM chips shipped every year, and there's less, you know, well under a billion x86 chips. So, and that gap is getting bigger because of the explosion of mobile computing platforms. So,
well, and ARM is low power, which is nice. One thing that I'm going to have to look at in addition is does it have any kind of 64-bit capabilities at all, or is it exclusively 32-bit? A big thing that moved some of the higher-end x86 platforms into the forefront was when Opteron took the lead with 64-bit extensions, right? Kind of launched the x86 64 part of the market and took the native 64s down. But to go back to something that doesn't have any 64-bit capabilities, I'm not sure how we're going to do that.
Well, I have a feeling by the time they implement the versions from Project Denver that they've designed here, they will be 64-bit chips. In fact, they've already, I think ARM and some of the players have already talked about 64-bit computing. I know there's one company that's playing around with ARMs for servers already. So 64 bits, I think, is on the roadmap, and those chips almost certainly, or those cores, I should say, almost certainly will be 64 bit. I mean, that's the default standard right now for PCs and servers, and
right.
obviously supercomputing. So I don't think they could get away with 32 bits at this point.
I think my point here is that there's more involved than just saying we're going to take this ARM chip that we have for mobile devices, we're going to use it for computing in general.
Oh, right.
Especially by the time you make it all the way into our neck of the woods with HPC, you're going to have to answer some pretty significant questions about your processor architecture, how it computes, and how it scales. There are some advantages to ARM, most notably the power profile.
Right.
But by the time you start adding in all these capabilities, your ability to keep this low power, you know, everything you add in adds power, right?
Right. I mean, the 64-bit versions are going to be higher power, but there is that sort of that inbuilt efficiency because they have a more regular instruction set, you know, fixed width. It's a RISC architecture, so it's a little easier to work with from that point of view. It's a simpler architecture at this point. 64 bits obviously makes it wider, but the efficiency should still carry over. And yeah, I mean, NVIDIA has to design these, especially for the high ends. They're going to design their own cores, and that'll be a big challenge for them because they've never designed a CPU before. They've never implemented a CPU, so that's going to be a big thing for them in the next couple of years.
Well, and it kind of reminds me about Intel's attempts to design a GPU with the Larrabee project. So we're really seeing this as having a pretty big impact across the industry. What we should do is take a quick break from our sponsor this week. Then we'll come back and talk about some of the industry context around a new paradigm in computing.
Extreme Compute Technologies, or XCT, delivers HPC solution sets across the many verticals and disciplines within the HPC marketplace. Anchored by the BRICS product family of PCIe expansion platforms, XCT provides customers with a unique and much-needed service aspect of flexible, serviceable, and upgradable platforms. Whether focused on NVIDIA Tesla GPU compute, the versatile NVIDIA Quadro by PNY Visualization with GPU compute, FPGA, or SSD-based HPC computing, XCT offers what other vendors don't. Available in varying configurations and chassis options, including 1U, 2U, and the convenient desk-side sidecar, the BRICS product family provides the market with flexible choices backed by XCT's standard 3-year on-site warranty. To find out more, visit www.extremecompute.com today.
So, Michael, we've got NVIDIA designing a CPU, and they're becoming a computing company. AMD kind of already has this, right? And you've got Intel has been attempting to go the other direction. Plus, you've got IBM has kind of got every architecture under the sun. Let's start with Intel. Is kind of the dominant player here. You know, they had said they were going to design a GPU, which was the Larrabee project, and put it on chip, and then that got scrubbed and then came back as many integrated cores, which is still an accelerator but not a GPU. Compare and contrast the Intel many integrated core with the NVIDIA Project Denver.
Well, yeah, it's a different approach for sure. I mean, I would say the Intel is a hybrid, whereas what NVIDIA is doing is heterogeneous. So Intel has taken the x86 form and made it sort of a parallel processing thing unto itself, whereas NVIDIA is basically going to keep the CPU cores, the intellectual property, and logic separate from the GPUs, and they're going to talk to each other as sort of two separate components on the same chip, whereas Intel is sort of an integrated. It's integrated together. So they're the only ones doing that, Intel, that is, with x86, AMD and NVIDIA or not. And it's an interesting architecture. It's an interesting approach. Of course, they don't have anything to show for it yet. They've just got, I shouldn't say that. They've got their experimental versions, but they don't have a product yet. But it looks like they're going to move forward. And like you pointed out, it's an accelerator technology. The ones that NVIDIA and now AMD are doing are not accelerators. They will be, you know, these monolithic, you could call them central processing units, but I'm not sure what we're going to end up calling them, but they're the main processing unit for these systems. They won't be off a PCI bus.
Right. I think that's the nut of the difference between these two approaches. When you look at our part of the industry, high performance computing in particular, that the Intel approach is going to be the more familiar notion of the CPU is in charge of running the system, running most of the calculations, but there are aspects of it that I'm going to move off to an accelerator because the accelerator can do it faster in certain cases where I can get enough acceleration to overcome the latency hit that I get for moving something over that PCI bus. Whereas this NVIDIA approach with Project Denver, I think the long-term implication of it is that the GPU is doing most of the calculation. And this ARM chip is kind of handling the system overhead and the allocation, right?
Right. I mean, in both cases, you're still splitting the workload, but one of them is off of a PCI link, and the other one is off of some on-chip interconnect, which presumably is much, much faster. So in a way, that model's the same. It's just sort of the economics of what makes most sense when you build these chips and, you know, how you can sell them. If you can sell it as an accelerator and you can build it as such specifically for that market space, and so you can optimize certain things that you can't maybe optimize when you combine those two components together. But frankly, I'm not sure how long Intel will stay with this. If their mic architecture, this Larrabee ancestor, will become successful, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually integrated that back onto at least one of their product lines. The Xeon one would be the most reasonable one to do that with. I mean, Intel
They wanted it to be dominant in HPC, Michael, which is why they named the mic architecture after you.
Yeah, right. And that was very much appreciated as well. But I mean, Intel's got another approach. I mean, they still have to sell Xeon, so, and as well as the rest of their product line. Yep. And then in their PC line, they're actually bringing graphics smarts onto those newer PC chips. So in a way, they're sort of going down two different trajectories here. But I have a feeling at some point those trajectories will merge again. They'll bring this mic acceleration back onto some chip at some point if it's deemed useful, and certainly they want it to be useful. So I think it's going to follow the same pattern that we saw with floating point acceleration, which used to be coprocessors.
Right. And you know, I had predicted, as we were looking at the mic architecture coming out and the adoption or at least the trial of NVIDIA GPUs with CUDA, that the real battleground is going to be Intel versus NVIDIA in 2012. I think this only underscores that. NVIDIA's doubling down on its bet in terms of really taking on Intel in this space.
Although, you know, switching now, let's look at AMD. I think that's almost the real head-to-head comparison now, because AMD with Fusion is really the exact same model that NVIDIA is using, except the CPU architectures are different. It's x86 in AMD's case and ARM in the NVIDIA case. But it looks like at least those approaches are the same. And AMD, in this sense, is way ahead of NVIDIA, because this week they announced their first crop of Fusion chips that are going into laptops. Down the line, you know, AMD's talked about putting them into servers, and I have a feeling they'll probably show up in servers at about the same time the NVIDIA chips will, because it needs a little more maturity in that space to make that reasonable. But in a way, AMD has a head start for this model right now, because they've been thinking about this and designing this for a long time. They've got their first chips out basically this week. They're going into notebooks and laptops.
Yeah, here's AMD with this technology head start, and then NVIDIA announces it, and then all of a sudden it's like it's real. It's, you know what it reminds me of is, you know, everyone going crazy this Christmas with their new iPads, and everyone's going nuts about this new iPad technology. Tablet computers are not new, right?
Right. I mean,
tablet computers have been around for a while, but all of a sudden Apple does one, and it's like this great new thing. And Apple has done this with iPhones and iPods. iPods were not the first MP3 players. But it's like this company has a magic touch for creating a new category or creating a new paradigm. And I wonder if NVIDIA is going to bring that magic to this compute architecture, where AMD kind of had this lead and has the technology already established, but if NVIDIA is the one that everyone's watching.
Right. Well, I mean, actually, I think we're sort of jaded here. We're watching NVIDIA harder than maybe the general public here, because they've devoted so much time and resources to HPC. I think this probably got a lot less play in the regular press than maybe I'm giving it or we're giving it here, because it's, you know, AMD is already doing this, so it looks like NVIDIA is sort of just hanging on to something that AMD established a while back. But since NVIDIA is sort of so committed to HPC, I think we're looking at this as more of an endorsement of this approach. So the fact that now we have basically the two major GPU players looking towards a heterogeneous architecture as something that's going to play through their whole product line up to servers, I think is a significant thing. And in HPC, it's very significant.
Well, let's take one more sponsor break and come back and then look at a stat of the week specifically related to what AMD's current role is in the market.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Extreme Compute Technologies, manufacturer of the flexible, serviceable, and upgradable BRICS product family of PCIe expansion platforms. For more information on XCT's BRICS platforms, visit www.extremecompute.com.
So, Michael, you very correctly pointed out that AMD has a technology lead with this type of architecture, and that maybe not enough people are paying attention to AMD. We've got a pertinent statistic of the week. If you'd like me to go there,
yeah, let's hear about the how AMD is doing today, at least in HPC.
So, as of our most recent site census, which was run in the first half of 2010, we're about to rerun it. This would be capturing systems installed up through 2009, including the first quarter of 2010. AMD, if you look at it as a percent of core count, AMD only was 18% of the overall cores across everything, but then another 10% were hybrid AMD Intel systems. So that'll put AMD up into the 20s, and that's consistent with AMD's share of systems installed in the last year, where really it was as much as over 30% of systems in 2009, although that's been falling. So AMD does still have a significant market share of processors in the HPC market. It's been trending the wrong way for them, but shouldn't we be looking a little more at AMD's use of this technology?
Yeah, definitely for the future. I mean, heterogeneous computing is going to be the future in HPC. We don't quite know the year that that's going to become sort of the default standard. But yeah, AMD sort of positioned pretty well now since they do have sort of that technology established. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about basically the x86 only market. And actually, that's not a bad share. If they're up to 30%, in this market, that's better than they're doing in the general marketplace in x86. Right. So they've sort of got a nice foundation to build upon. I think if they use some of those resources and make a push to get that heterogeneous computing platform into HPC, they could have a much bigger impact in this market than they've had over the past few years.
Well, and they've been there before. I mean, in 2006, AMD was out shipping Intel in HPC, thanks to Opteron combined with Intel's woes around the early Itanium and Merced platforms.
Right. It's just up to AMD on how much effort they want to put into their high-end server and supercomputing markets, because they've done it before and they can do it again. It's just right now, I think, or at least the past years, they've been much more focused on the mobile and client consumer markets than they ever have in the past. So it's just sort of where they want to put their emphasis. But yeah, this market is within reach of them for sure.
And I had a quick conversation with AMD at Supercomputing that I'm looking forward to following up in the near future. So we'll see how AMD is going to respond to this in 2011. In any case, shaping up to be an exciting year. I mean, we get this right out of the chute. It's January 7th, and we're looking at a whole new paradigm in computing.
Yeah. It's sort of amazing, but yeah, it's always something at the beginning of the year, and this was sort of an interesting development. Obviously, we're going to be following this with all three of these companies and the reaction from the industry. So, good start to an exciting year.
Well, I look forward to talking to you again next week, Michael, when our guest on the podcast will be Brent Gorta, the CEO of Wham Cloud.
I'm looking forward to that as well. We'll be talking to you next week then.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.